In our study on bitterness from Hebrews chapter 12, we've established the cure for bitterness is by faith to endure chastening instruction from sinners. That was Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 4. And secondly, to endure chastening instruction for our own sin. That was Hebrews chapter 5, verses chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. By faith, we can endure suffering. One, knowing that God loves us, verse 6. Two, knowing that we are His children, verses 7 and 8. Three, knowing it will demonstrate our submission to God, verse 9. And number four, knowing that He's doing it for our good. And then, that was verse 10. And number five, knowing if we learn from it, it will bring forth righteousness, verse 11. Now, we need to fan the faith of others. How? In that verse, we're told to lift up the hands which hang down and feeble knees, verse 12. We need to make straight paths for our own feet. Lest, why? We stop running our race, verses 12 and 13. Now, we can do this by helping ourselves and helping others first to acknowledge our suffering is ultimately from God, and then by accepting it. When we faint in seeking to overcome bitterness, there's going to be no peace. There will be no righteousness, verse 15. And it was in verses 15 through 17 that we discovered the characteristics of bitterness. You're troubled, you're disturbed, and you trouble others, you defile others. And what were the two root causes of bitterness? Pride and lust. In this passage, Esau is put forth as an example of one who became bitter because of his lust. But a study of his history will also reveal that he struggled with pride. We previously mentioned to you that in Genesis chapter 27, verse 34, where bitter is first mentioned in the Bible, it was Esau who cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. Now, was he the first to get bitter? No. Adam was the first to get bitter. And do you know who he got bitter at? God and his wife. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Nevertheless, the first mentioning of being bitter in the Bible is Esau. Our study this morning is going to involve a lot of reading of Scripture. We're going to look for the seeds of bitterness, how it was sown and how it was nurtured in Esau. And I would trust that every one of us would purpose this morning that we will neither sow seeds of bitterness in the lives of others, nor will we allow seeds of bitterness to be sown in our life. Let's go back to the birth of Esau and Jacob. Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. This is a different style of preaching this morning. We're going to cover, as I said, not verses. We're going to look at chapters. Genesis chapter 25, beginning our reading with verse 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham, he begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan-Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac, he entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Now, it sounds like, wow, he prayed today, and she conceived tomorrow. Well, we'll see later that he was praying for 20 years for this pregnancy. But reading on, verse 22. And the children, they struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people. Watch out now. The elder shall serve the younger. Now, this is the knowledge that she has. Now, did she share it with her husband? I would hope so, but I don't know so. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came out his brother. And his hand took hold of Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob, meaning supplanter. And Isaac was 60 years old when she bare him. She was 60. Began praying, remember, at 40? Gives birth at 60. Oh, and the boys grew, and Esau, he was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Oh, and Isaac loved Esau. Why? Well, because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah, she loved Jacob. Do you see a problem evolving here, people? Do you see perhaps jealousy being fanned? Do you see that maybe there will be some favoritism shown to these boys, thus causing a spirit of bitterness within them? Now, why do you suppose that Isaac loved Esau? Why do you suppose Rebekah loved Jacob? What's their two root sins, people? Pride and lust. Look at your very first purpose, please, on your sheet. I purpose to examine if because of my pride and lust, I am fanning bitterness between my children or others. How? By showing favoritism in loving one more than the other because of what I am receiving. Because of what I am receiving. But now look at the next purpose, though, that goes hand in hand with this one. Even when being provoked, and you might add this phrase, by a lack of love. Even when being provoked by a lack of love, I purpose not to let others fan my jealousy towards another, causing me to become bitter towards them. Verse 29. And Jacob, he sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom, meaning red. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold him his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now understand something. See, it's easy for you and I to see the lust of Esau. He lusted after this food. But what was Jacob lusting after, people? His, the birthright. Later on, we're going to see that both dad and mom, they had lust too. What I want you to understand as you look at this, we've got a family that's nurturing pride and lust in their lives. And it's going to lead to a spirit of bitterness. All right, but let's move on. And by the way, notice your notice the phrase, thus Esau despises birthright. Look at your purpose. I purpose not to despise the goods and the gifts God's given to me, thus opening myself up to bitterness. When you begin to despise that which God has given to you, or despise, well, that you don't have it, you're opening yourself up to bitterness. In other words, how do you suppose Isaac may have responded if he didn't get his venison? Would he love his son, Esau? Or how about Rebekah when she didn't get help with the cooking and helping around the tent from Jacob? Would she have loved him? Or Jacob, if he missed out on receiving this birthright, how do you think he would have responded? And, of course, the point I'm making is that every one of these members of this family got bitter at times. They got bitter when they didn't get what they wanted, or they got bitter when they had something and it was taken from them. They're a family like yours and a family like mine. Look at your purpose. I purpose to watch, knowing bitterness can spring up in any and all members of my household when we don't get what we want or when what we want is taken from us. Now, what we're going to do is jump ahead about 80 years. Isaac is about 140. He's going to live to be 180, according to Genesis 35, verse 28. But we're jumping to chapter 27. Verse 1. And we read, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old," he's 140, "and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and he said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons and thy quiver, thy bow, and go out in the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." All right, my son, take me, make me. You see what's going on, don't you? You got to understand something. Esau had despised his birthright. Esau had grieved his father and mother in marrying foreign women, Genesis chapter 26, the last two verses, 34, 35. Yet Isaac is still bent on giving him the family blessing. Verse 5. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison to bring it. And Rebekah, she spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speaking to Esau, thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. What are we going to do? Go to the flock, fetch me from hence two good kids of the goats, and I'll make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Obey my voice and go and fetch them. Look at your purpose on your sheet. I purpose to evaluate if I'm bitter towards my mate, as evidenced by my willingness to encourage my child not to listen to them, but to me. You ever thought about that? When one mate tells a child, don't listen to your father, don't listen to your mother. It ought to be a time for you to evaluate, am I bitter at my mate? Why am I bitter at my mate? That I would encourage my child not to obey them. Reading on. And he went, and he fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and she put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son, Jacob. You've seen the phrase as we've read down through here, my son, his son, indicating that there was favoritism being shown. And we've already established the reason why they were showing favoritism was because of what they were getting from their child. Verse 18. And he came unto his father, and he said, my father, and he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? Doesn't sound like his son. And Jacob said to his father, well, I'm Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Well, he's now even invoked the Lord into this plot and plan. All right, something didn't sound right. Now let's see about feeling. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob, he went near unto Isaac, his father. He felt him. He said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother's Esau hands. So he blessed him. Here comes the blessing. And he said, oh, not quite done yet. And he said, he's going to have another little test. Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and then I will eat my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he did drink. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment. And he blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. And here's the blessing. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of the heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and the plenty corn and wine. Let people serve thee, nations bow down to thee, be lord over thy brethren, let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed is he that blesses thee. He has just made him lord over his brother Esau. That was the blessing. Now, look at your purpose here on your sheet. Yeah, I purpose to evaluate if I'm bitter at my parents, as evidenced by my willingness to violate a biblical principle to get what I want. When your mother or father said no, and you said, well, you know, wait a minute, and somebody, the kids have succumbed, hey, come on, we're going out tonight, and we're going to go do this and that. Mom, Dad don't want me to. Come on. So you lie. I'm going over and spend the night with him. We're just going to study. But you go and do other things. Did you ever think about how that bears witness that you're bitter? Lying, cheating, stealing to get what you want when your parents have told you no is evidence that I got some bitterness toward you. I got some bitterness. In spite of Isaac's lack of spiritual discernment, in spite of Rebekah's defiance against her husband, in spite of Jacob's deception of his father, God will bring his plan for Jacob to receive the blessing. I want you to remember, just because God can use the sin of others to bring about his plan, remember men crucified Jesus? He still holds man accountable for his sins. And he's going to hold them accountable for their sins. At this point, we see the spirit of bitterness in Esau. It comes because something is taken from him. Verse 30, and it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of the blessing Jacob, that Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from the hunting. And he also had made a savory meat, and he brought it unto his father, and he said unto his father, let my father rise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I'm thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly. And he said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten it of it all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceeding, and here's our first time, bitter cry, and said unto the father, his father, oh, bless me, even me also, my father. He's missed the blessing. I want you to see what happens now next, okay? Dad knows that his son Esau is upset with Jacob. Will dad seek to reconcile these two boys together? Watch what he does. Verse 35, and he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. What's he doing? He's fanning it. How many times you and I do the same thing? Someone comes to us and they got a tale to tell of how someone has unjustly dealt with them. And what do we do? Do we seek to put the fire out? Or do we fan their bitterness? Remember, there's two types of response. There's the fighting and there's the fleeing. This dad is almost fanning the aspect of fight, fight, fight. Yeah. Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. I've known dads who said, okay, we're going to settle this between you two boys. Get the boxing gloves out. They put on the boxing gloves and they go at it. I want to tell you something. There's always a winner and there's always a loser. What kind of spirit do you think the loser has in their heart after that battle? Bitter. You, as parents, have got to be careful that you do not fan bitterness in your children by taking the side of one against the other. You have to be careful. Now, we'll show you later on exactly what steps you should take, but you must be careful that you don't fan bitterness in your children. Well, let's read on. Oh, but before we read on, let's take a look at our purpose. When others come to me complaining about not getting what they want or having something taken from them, I purpose not to fan their bitterness by simply agreeing with them, but will encourage them to ask God what he's trying to teach them. What's God trying to teach you? Well, notice, now we saw Esau's bitterness with his weeping, okay? And he said, is not rightly, verse 36, named Jacob, for he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, he hath taken away my blessing. He hath said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. What shall I now do unto thee, my son? And Esau said to his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau, he lifted up his voice and he wept. There's weeping. Sometimes weeping bears witness of our bitterness. Sometimes our words bear witness. And Isaac, his father, he answered and said to him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shall thou live and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have had dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. There's going to be war between these boys. War. We know that Herod the Great was a descendant of Esau. And what did he try to do? He tried to kill the Messiah. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, How do you know you may be bitter? Well, you know it. You can know it anyway by your weeping. You've seen children weep with a rebellious weep. But you can also know it by their words. He said in his heart, The days of my mourning for my father at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob. Look at your purpose. I purpose to watch carefully in my life and in the life of others if our weeping or our words indicate bitterness has sprung up. Just a couple of indicators. Not all weeping, not all words, obviously, bear witness that we're bitter, but some do. And you need to be watching out for them. Well, we saw that Dad, he fanned it, encouraging them to fight. Now, let's see how Rebekah responds. Now, these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son. She said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touches thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. So what's her mode of operandi? Flee. Go to my brother, a few days, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. That's kind of interesting, right? That he forget that which thou hast done to him. She wasn't any part of that, was she? Then I will send and fetch thee from hence. Why should I be deprived also of both of you in one day? Instead of her bringing the boys together, come on, boys, we need to sit down. We need to get this matter reconciled. There needs to be confession of sin. There needs to be a forgiveness of sin. She says, get out of town. Go for a few days. And how long were those few days, people? 20 years. And by the way, Rebecca will never see her son again. Her son will never see his mother again. By the way, Jacob will spend 20 years serving another. Other consequences? Lying and cheating and stealing? You betcha. You betcha. Notice a purpose here on your sheet. When I know someone is upset with another, I purpose I will not counsel them to fight or flee, or nor flee, but I'm going to encourage them to be reconciled. How? By speaking the truth in love to one another. That's what we saw this morning out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Though God is going to use the sins of Rebekah and Jacob to bring about his plan, nevertheless, he will punish them for their sins. And that's what we'll see in the ensuing chapters. But look at your next purpose. Because there are always consequences to our sins, you know what? I'm going to purpose to sin less and less. That's not a bad idea, right? Well, verse 46 says this, and Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these that are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life be? She's upset that her boy took wives of Heth. She doesn't want Jacob. That's her pretense to get Jacob out of town. All right? And he's going to go 7 years. According to chapter 28, he's going to serve for Leah. 7 years, he's going to serve for Rachel. 7 years, he's going to serve for a flock. Let's go 20 years ahead. Ready? Genesis chapter 32. Genesis 32. He's talked to God. God said, come on back home. I'm going to take care of you. All right? Verse 1. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of the place Mahanaim. And Jacob, he sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, now watch, he's going to make peace. Thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. Wait a minute. Esau, he was lord to him. But you speak to him, my lord. And the servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban, stayed there until now. I have oxen, asses, flocks, men servants, women servants. I have sent to tell my lord that I might find grace in his sight. He's looking for grace. He's speaking words. He's got gifts, right? And the messengers, they returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and he also cometh to meet thee with 400 men with him. That's not a good sign. Not a good sign at all. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands. And he said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. Now watch this. This is what we should do. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, the God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. What's he doing? He's reminding God of his what? He's reminding God of his promise. Now watch. In the midst of his fear, he goes to the Lord in prayer. That's what we ought to do. In the midst of his fear, he says this, I am not worthy of all the least of thy mercies, of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over the Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children, and thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. It's not a bad thing when you're facing the fear to call on and remind God of a promise that he's made to you. Now what he does, he lodges there that night, and you read on, and he separates 200 she-goats, verse 14. He's all kinds of animals. Verse 16, he delivered them into the hand of his servants. Every drove by themselves. In other words, one drove would come, first the goats, then would come the ewes, then would come the rams, then all of these spread out. So Esau would be receiving all of these gifts in separate times. Like Christmas, right? You begin Christmas, and you start first day of December with a gift. Then you get another one on the next one. Oh, you kids say, that sounds real good. 30 gifts, all right, yeah. Well, they're coming. But he's not only given the gifts. Look at verse 18. Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau. Behold, he is behind us. And so commanded he the second, the third, and all that followed the drove, saying, on this manner shall you speak unto Esau when you find him. And say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face, peradventure he will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself he lodged that night in the company. And that's the night when he wrestles with God. And the Lord smites him, remember, and he limps away after that, and we're assuming that he limped for the rest of his time. But now we come to verse 1 of chapter 33. And Jacob, he lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and behold, Esau came with 400 men. Now watch what he does. And he delivered the children unto Leah, unto Rachel, unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children up in the front foremost, and Leah, her children, after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. Who is he protecting the most, people? Jacob. Now, you think the other children were so stupid that they didn't realize what was going on? What's he doing? He's doing exactly what his dad did. And what does dad do? Oh, that's right. He showed favoritism. He's showing favoritism. Now, you and I know the story that comes later. Remember near his death when, what does he give to the son Jacob, that coat of what? Many colors. And how did the boys respond to that? Oh, that's right. They sold him to the Egyptians. Dad was fanning jealousy in those boys long time before that. And where did he learn it? Well, from his father. Man, this is where the sins have passed down through to many generations. Do you realize that we train our family to be bitter? You've seen the story on television, the Hatfields and the McCoys. Was that it? Hatfields and McCoys. You remember that old story? Went down through generations, the bitterness. Listen, what's the definition of bitterness? Well, okay, it rises up quickly, trouble us, and thereby many be defiled. Dad, your enemies are my enemies. Your friends are my friends. We don't realize how easy it is for us to fan bitterness in our children by creating a spirit of jealousy. This is what's going on. This is what we see. Verse 3. Is there peace at last between the boys? Look what happens. And he passed before them. My, he bows himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him. He embraced him. He fell on his neck. They kissed and they wept. Oh, there's reconciliation. There's peace at last with the boys. Oh, and he lifted up his eyes and he saw the women and children. He said, who are these with thee? And he said, oh, the children which God has graciously given to thy servant. Then the handmaids came near with their children. They bowed themselves, and Leah with her children came near and bowed themselves, and they came near Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, what meaneth thou by all this drove which I met? And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. And Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at thy hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I have seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt very graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took him. Who gives the gift? The one who is lesser to the greater. And he's trying to demonstrate to his brother, I am less, by calling him his Lord, by referring to him as your servant, and by giving him these good gifts. And he said, let's take our journey, let us go, and I will go before thee. That was Esau to Jacob. And he said, oh, my children, Lord, knoweth that the children, they are tender, and the flocks and herds are young with me. If the men should overdrive them in one day, all the flock will die. He's saying, no. We got to come on slow. You go ahead. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I'll lead on softly, according as the cattle go before me and the children are able to endure, until I come unto my Lord, unto Seir. And Esau said, let me now leave with thee some of the folk. Let me lead some warriors with you, all right? And he said, oh, what needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord. So Esau, he returned that day on his way to Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth, built him a house, made him booths and cattle. Therefore, the name of the place was called Succoth. Now, it won't be long before he'll cross over the Jordan River and go on into Shechem. But here's what happens. We're on the other side of the Jordan River. Well, Esau is down south. So he goes this way. Jacob goes this way. Goes right in the opposite direction. Why? I thought they'd been reconciled, huh? Well, his brother came and kissed him, hugged him. Reconciled, right? There's been no reconciliation. Why? What's missing here from all of this? Well, there were gifts. There were words of submission. My Lord, I'm your servant. What's missing? Why is there no reconciliation? Well, how are we reconciled to God? What does it take for us to be reconciled to God as sinners? We must confess our sin, and he must forgive us. Without those two elements, there is never reconciliation. There might be an appeasement. There might be an intolerance of that person. Oh, I can tolerate them. I can be in their presence. But there's no reconciliation unless somebody confesses their sin and somebody asks for forgiveness. Did you see either one of these boys confessing their sin one to another? Did you see either one of these boys forgiving one another? No. And they know they're not reconciled because one goes in the opposite direction of the other. Some 1,200 years later, the descendants of Esau, they're still fighting with Jacob and the nation of Israel. Listen to these words taken from Ezekiel chapter 35, verse 5. God promises to judge Esau, Edom at that time, okay? Because thou hast a perpetual hatred and a shed blood of the children of Israel. Now, that's 1,200 years later, but it's never been reconciled. The descendants of Esau were never reconciled with their brother Jacob. Been a perpetual war. And we should learn from that. If there's going to be reconciliation, it doesn't come by many presents. It doesn't come by even pleasant words. It comes by somebody acknowledging their sin and somebody forgiving. And because it springs up, troubles you, and you and thereby trouble others, it goes down to the next generation. And the next generation. Three final purposes. Let's take a look at them as we close today. When I know someone is bitter with me, I purpose to go to them. This is Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. And I'm going to ask them two questions. How have I offended you? Second one, what steps can I take to correct it? I talked to someone over on the phone on Sunday. Or not Sunday, yesterday. They got a problem with somebody else. I said, listen, you need to go. You need to say to that person, how have I offended you? What steps can I take to correct it? There has to be confession. There has to be forgiveness. Now, they may go and they may confess their sin. and that one may choose not to forgive him. Well, there's not going to be reconciliation. But you've done what you could. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Here's your next purpose. When I'm bitter with another, I purpose to go to them. Matthew 18. See, the other one was, okay, I know someone's bitter with me. I'm going to go. Hey, I'm bitter with somebody else. I'm going to go. God always holds you responsible for going. Whether you are the one who is guilty or whether you're the one who is innocent, God calls on you to go. I'm going to go. If somebody sinned against me, and I'm going to say, listen, here's how you've offended me, and here are the steps that you can take to correct it. And, of course, one of those steps should be you need to confess your sin, and I want you to know the moment you do, I'm going to forgive you. Now, I just mentioned one moral. Prior to you going to confronting another, you must first ask God what he's trying to teach you. Remember the reading of Trent this morning? Before you go and pick the speck out of somebody else's eye, you've got to get the log out of your own eye. So you ask God before you go, God, what are you trying to teach me through the sin of this individual? And I told you, there's always at least five lessons. He wants to teach you about faith. He wants to teach you about patience. He wants to teach you about love. He wants to teach you about humility. He wants to teach you about meekness. Now you see, if you've learned those five lessons and you go to that person with faith, patience, love, humility, and meekness to deal with them, it'll be a whole different ballgame than if you go with a spirit of pride, arrogancy, lust. Well, we've went through it fairly fast this morning, but this is an illustration. This is the illustration of Hebrews, of Esau. First one in the Bible who's been said to be bitter. Now, we're going to look at some other illustrations, but this is the first one. And there was a lot of reading we had to do, but I wanted you to focus on two things this morning. One, I need to make sure I'm examining myself that I'm not a provoker. I'm not provoking bitterness in my family in showing favoritism. And then number two, hey, I want to make sure that I'm not being provoked to jealousy by others, by my other family members. We're trying to be able to identify bitterness in their life. That's why I shared this illustration with you. All of us, I've said from the very beginning, are more bitter than we realize. Bitterness is found in the family, in all the members of the family. And we need to be mindful of that. And we need to make sure that we're neither the fanner or the one who is being fanned. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you from this illustration taken from the life of Esau and his family. Lord, thank you for this great caution that you've given us today, that true reconciliation comes only when one asks for forgiveness and one receives forgiveness. So help us, I pray, dear Lord, to be involved in this ministry of reconciliation. Not fanning it, but dealing with it by encouraging others to go. And if they've been offended, to share with the other one how they've been offended and what steps they could take to correct it. Lord, help us to be healers and not hinders. Now we just ask these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen.